An Outlaw's Reprieve. A novella by Quentin Black. Read by Frank Coles. Dedication. For Rawthorpe Amateur Boxing Club. Prologue. Revenge is an act of passion. Vengeance of justice. Samuel Johnson. Chapter 1. Paul looked around the half-demolished kitchen, his hands thrust into his hoodie's pockets and his mouth tucked under it. He stood in the doorway, half in, half out, with the dust from the smashed marble kitchen top mingling with his cigarette smoke. Brick rubble lay in the corner, together with wood chippings, a pair of styrofoam coffee cups, and cigarette ends decorating the heap. For nearly a year now, he'd worked for his uncle, ever since being kicked out of senior school. He'd heard various derivatives of the argument his Uncle Mark was now having with a 70-year-old widow. Not that she stood a chance. His vastly overweight but tall uncle was an imposing man against most men, let alone the great-grandma he was now verbally tying in knots. The scam was to quote an upfront price and get the money in advance for expenses. Mark could have the charm of a car salesman, and old ladies especially seemed to take to him. Upon demolishing their kitchen or bathroom, his uncle would claim unforeseen faults and ask for more money. When they refused, they'd walk off the job keeping the upfront money. Paul had felt uncomfortable the first few times his uncle had gone through this routine. The angry ones weren't so bad, but those who cried used to make him feel bad. He reckoned Mark would get a fright if any of the biddies agreed to the extra money, as he would have to actually do some work. However, receiving his cut always made him feel better. Weed made music sound better and pot noodles tastier. And having a smoke seemed to be the only thing to stop his girlfriend's piercing screeches and incessant ranting. Hearing his uncle wrapping up, he flicked the stub into the garden.
Look, you can either pay me or someone else to do this. I couldn't give a monkey's.
Her timid voice came back with,
But you have my money, so I can't.
That money was for tools and materials which I've already bought, so I can't give back now, love. We spent loads of fuel money coming over from Hull, and turned down loads of other jobs too.
But...
Paul, we're off!
Paul snatched the toolbox and headed through to the hallway, arriving just as his uncle emerged from the living room. He stole a glance in to see the old lady, her face turned white, teetering against one of her pink velvet sofas. Three portraits on the wall looked on, one of her dead husband she told him about when they first arrived, another of a beautiful redhead in a black university gown, clutching a rolled-up sheet of paper tied with a red ribbon, and one further into the room of the same woman holding a baby. He hurried outside and slung the toolbox into the untidy van, closed the sliding door, and jumped into the passenger seat as the engine fired up. His feet clanked and rustled against the empty cans of energy drinks and crisp packets. He saw the curtains twitch as they roared away.
Fucking hell, how much did we skank her for?
Mark rubbed his scratchy beard.
Minus expenses, just over 6K.
Not bad, eh? How much am I getting, Uncle Mark?
His curiosity overcame his nervousness towards his uncle, whose body weight was almost twice his own. His uncle's bulging stomach lay wedged between his upper thighs and the steering wheel.
You can have a grand, who's that?
The knowledge his uncle would pocket the remaining 5,000 tainted the thrill of receiving more than he'd ever been given. Mark slid the van onto the motorway, and soon the blue and white signs indicated they were heading towards their home city of Hull. Paul listened to the 40-year-old fudge the answers to the quiz on the radio, saying them a microsecond after the host, and making out he knew them all along. Paul thought back to when he'd once asked Mark about his conscience when ripping off these oldies. The reply came back laced with derision.
They've fucking got loads of money, them. Pensions and families see them, right? You saw the pictures in her living room. Her family won't be short of a few bob. And those old people are the fucking experts of how to swindle the system.
Paul glanced across at him.
You ever think that one of these old biddies will know someone, you know? Like someone serious.
His uncle guffawed.
We're the scariest family in all. Who the fuck is she going to run to? She might have young grandsons or whatever, and all they'll do is talk big words, and after a while they'll swallow it, because they have to.
One of his elbows left the shelf of his belly to root into a bag of fruit pastels nestled in the cup holders between them. He grabbed a fistful and forced them into his mouth. Paul started tapping his phone to his second cousin, who doubled as his weed dealer. A reply came within a minute. He'd be able to hook Paul up for tonight and Saturday.